This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is the 10th of March. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today we are asking you, how much does experience matter in a ministerial position? You can get in touch with us. We've been asking you all morning on Twitter, on Instagram. We have a poll. You can also let us know on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We've got options on Twitter. We've got a slider on Instagram story. Or you could get in touch on WhatsApp. Following that, we've also got a story on how, if you're flying in the next coming weeks or months, so, you know, with all the rebates of, you know, promotional packages, I just got an email about, you know, Malaysia Airlines is having some sale going on. So if you're flying, there may be some things that you need to know in order to, I guess, you know, to protect yourself from COVID-19. And also, Frida, you've got a story on the desk job.
Yes, the title of this article is Why Your Desk Job Is So Damn Exhausting.
So if you're traveling, or even if you're just stuck at work, we've got a story for you today.
Now, I think, you know, most of people's conversations have revolved around yesterday's announcement, because our Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced his new cabinet lineup, and he described his cabinet as one that aims to fulfill the aspirations of the people.
Yes, and he made several unconventional appointments. There were some unorthodox structural changes to his cabinet. Speaking of unconventional appointments, the Prime Minister named Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul, the former Chief Executive Officer of CIMB Group, as our new Finance Minister. This portfolio, of course, is seen as one of the most senior cabinet posts. It's usually held by the Prime Minister, and it's been that way over the last two decades. Wow. He also appointed four senior ministers to the cabinet instead of a deputy. So we're talking about Datuk Sri Azmin Ali as the International Trade and Industry Minister. We've got Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob as the Defence Minister, Datuk Sri Fadila Yusof as Works Minister, and Dr. Mohamad Razzi Jidin as Education Minister. Now, I think when we've been speaking to experts all day about this new cabinet, and I think one of the main things that they say is that this cabinet will need to make more improvements than the previous government, and these include accelerating economic growth, creating more economic opportunities, addressing unemployment, and increasing national revenue. So Evening Edition yesterday, as soon as the announcement came out, they managed to get in touch with Keith Leong, who's the head of research at KRA Group, and I think Lin asked him about his take on the structure of this new cabinet and the introduction of these four new senior ministers in place of a deputy PM.
He announced the appointment of four senior ministers, which is unprecedented in Malaysia. I mean, we've had them in Singapore, for instance, but in the Singaporean context, those are, like, for instance, Lee Kuan Yew was a senior minister, Goh Chok Tong was a senior minister for a while. So those were for like elder statesmen, whereas these are people who are pretty much still in the game. So I think, again, it reflects the coalitional nature of his government, you know, in the sense that it reflects the main factions in his government, the main party leaders of his government, and also the fact that Sabah Sarawak was also represented. You know, that's also significant, because those two states played a crucial role in his elevation as prime minister. The lack of a deputy prime minister is also interesting in that sense, you know, because I think, it reflects the fact that there's a coalitional nature of this government, you know, because unfortunately in Malaysia, we've come to regard the deputy prime ministership as almost the successor of the prime minister. So I think by leaving that role unfulfilled, he tried to avoid that kind of question of succession, which pretty much was an impairment, which was a big problem that Pakatan Harapan faced, you know, the lack of clarity, as it were, who would succeed Dr. Martin.
You know, what Keith said was actually, it didn't struck me as well, because the deputy prime minister has always been seen, oh, you're the second in line and stuff, but that's never really been the case, in the sense, the defining of what is the deputy prime minister's role is also up in question. So, you know, for our 8th prime minister to basically just omit this out and then hire four senior ministers... Mm. It's a very unconventional move, unorthodox, but interesting.
So we don't really know what the role of these senior ministers are going to be like, you know, but they all have their own portfolios, which is something different from what, like, we're used to seeing in Singapore and Indonesia and other neighbouring countries here. So we asked Keith if these senior ministers could act like coordinating ministers, like we've seen in neighbouring countries in Southeast Asia.
I mean, they were not also called coordinating ministers because Singapore has coordinating ministers and so does Indonesia, whereas these senior ministers, they also have their own portfolio. So it's really not clear how much coordination they can do because they also have their own portfolios, whereas in Indonesia or in Singapore, for instance, they look after broad areas, whereas our senior, the four that were appointed now, they have their own specific portfolios. Like, for instance, Azmin Ali is Minister of International Trade and Industry. Ismail Sabri Yaakob was Minister of Defence. So I think it's very much unprecedented, and it'll be interesting to see how it evolves in the Malaysian context. So certainly, it doesn't really follow what our neighbours are doing. So it's uncharted territory.
Uncharted territories. That, of course, was Keith Leong, head of research at KRE Group. And Keith, of course, spoke to Lynn extensively about this new cabinet lineup. You can find the podcast on bfm.my and the BFM app, also on Spotify or everywhere else that you get your podcasts.
It'd be interesting to see what these four ministers are doing. I was just reading a Facebook post with Dato' Michael Teo from PKD Logistics. And he was saying if the Prime Minister is the CEO and the Minister of Finance is the CFO, where is the operations, right? Who otherwise people will always be working in silos, right? If you were to turn into an organization, will one of these four ministers act as the operations? Otherwise, you know, you don't know what one ministry is doing. Maybe we need someone who coordinates all this.
So there's a level of uncertainty when it comes to the structure of our new cabinet. But one thing for sure is said about this cabinet lineup is that it is an experienced lineup. I think experts say that the new lineup is well chosen because it comprises candidates with vast experience in many aspects and can potentially elevate Malaysia's economy to another level. Malaysian Institute of Economic Research Chairman Tan Sri Dr. Kamal Saleh said that Tengku Zafrul, Datuk Sri Mustafa Mohamad, who is the minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of economy, and Dato' Sri Azmin Ali's experience in economy is invaluable, particularly in addressing various crises, including the high cost of living, unemployment and low job opportunities. He also said that Tengku Zafrul is very experienced in banking and economy. Azmin has experience in managing the economy of a state, while Mustafa is an old hand in economy and previously was in the economic planning unit. And he said that they will work together with the Prime Minister, who is also very experienced in the economy, having been Agriculture and Agro-based Industry Minister and Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister previously. So they are like a formidable economic team for our country.
You know, it's also interesting when he announced his lineup and when he announced that Dato' Sri Tengku Zafrul will be the finance minister who's, you know, previous, now the ex-group CEO of CIMB Group Holdings. At the end of that sentence, he actually went, you know, he's really good.
Yeah.
You know, as a statement to say that, you know, this is unorthodox, it's unconventional, but you know, there's no one better to hire than someone who's the ex-group CEO of a, you know, arguably one of the...
Unprecedented, right? It's never happened in Malaysian history. I'm just thinking around the world whether this ever happened. Someone that was not in politics became a minister.
In charge of Treasury.
Yeah.
In charge of Treasury, not really. But I think in other portfolios, we have had non-political members.
The Indonesian Gojek guy, right?
So, you know, I think a lot of people are saying that, yes, he is experienced in the banking industry. But is he, like, experienced when it comes to, you know, like, being in a ministerial position, right? You know, of course he's not. You know, this is his, he's going to be appointed as a senator. But I think the Asian Strategy of Leadership Institute, they mentioned that the chairman mentioned, Tan Sri Ramon Navaratnam, he mentioned that Tengku Zafrul is not a non-performer. He said, you know, he's a tried and tested finance man. Banking is related to economy and finance. So he's got the experience and the expertise to handle the job well. So at least he's got the backing of Tan Sri Ramon.
So let us know, how much does experience matter in a ministerial position? You can get in touch on our Twitter poll, you could get in touch on our Instagram story slider poll, or you could WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We will be right back with your votes. We will tell you some of the updates and also your messages after this. BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And we're asking you, the question is, how much does experience matter in a ministerial position? We've been asking you on Twitter and Instagram story, also for your messages on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. The Instagram and Twitter handle is at BFM Radio, so get on it now. We're going to run through some messages. So from Twitter, we've got a couple of messages. I'm going to pick the first one from Justin. He says, principles matter.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. And also from at Leah WCS says, if no goals, no policies, we don't need politicians to become as ministers. General Secretary of Ministry would be enough for that.
Yeah. Looking at Insta story, the poll basically is right now at they can learn on the job option. You know, that's where the slider is at. And looking at some of the messages, we've got one here from Daniel who says, Tan Sri Wahid Omar was a private sector professional and was made senator and headed the EPU. Yes, correct. Yao says, I'm sorry if I mucked up your name, but it says 60 years of experience got us nowhere. It's a reminder. And we have one from Ismail who says, I think the question should be, do we still need ministers? I think maybe he means like experienced ministers. Maybe he's talking about injecting fresh or young blood into the mix.
That's your perspective.
Maybe.
You just put words into his mouth.
Ismail.
Here's from 1222. New cabinet is better with experienced and qualified politicians as compared to last cabinet. In the last cabinet, defense minister is a cook who does not have a degree. Thank you. All right. Doris here. We need strong civil service and institutions. Minister can make anyone so long he's professional in carrying out the duties clean, and he or she must remember we taxpayers are paying for their salary allowance and business class tickets, etc. Roy said, experience is only an asset if you actually have value during that time. Plenty of politicians with years experience, but in all things detrimental to the nation. Hannah and Fahmy were shining examples, newbies who are shown their more experienced counterparts. 7122 here says, while good for economy, it seems and feel a new PM has forgotten about the importance of environmental and fight for climate change with the appointment of someone who has no traceable competency in talking about this area. Maggie Best, I'm no expert who can evaluate all these high profile individuals, but I believe time will tell if they are the desired results. So there's also a lot of complaints about the PH cabinet lineup. So why don't we wait and see, less people who say we are biased or petty.
So it is, you know, experience versus aspirations versus competence. And this, of course, because, you know, our Prime Minister took a leaf out of a Singapore and Indonesia's books by creating four coordinating ministers post in a move that he said will ensure a functional cabinet that will deliver service that is more focused.
Yes, more focused. But also, you know, we're talking about experience today, and we thought we'd get in touch with Nadir Ashafiq, the co-founder of Delori, because before the cabinet announcement was made yesterday at 5 p.m, I think it was even as early as last week, Nadir released his own cabinet lineup proposal, and they comprised of mostly entrepreneurs from the startup scene. And so
What we kind of discussed yesterday, right? Based on the story.
On that story. Based on his post, we discussed this yesterday, and he basically put all these founders and co-founders of startups in charge of cabinet posts or cabinet portfolios that were related to their industry. And so we caught up with Nadir Ashafiq today and asked him, you know, what is his take on the new structure of our new cabinet lineup?
Looking at it from a startup founder's point of view, who is very used to a lean and mean team structure, the current cabinet does feel a little bloated with 69 ministers as opposed to 54 ministers, excluding the prime minister previously. However, there are some notable restructuring, which is, in my opinion, is commendable and allows the portfolio to get the attention it deserves. For instance, the Ministry of Higher Education was created. It was spun off from the Ministry of Education, which really needs to look at issues relating to youth unemployment, talent brain drain, as well as getting more high-skilled talent, such as coders, data scientists, into the market as quick as possible. And these are issues that are pertinent and something that a ministry by itself needs to look at. So I would say, all in all, structure-wise, it could have been smaller, but there are some plus points that's worth praise.
We also asked Nadir what he thought about the appointment of senators in some portfolios from a business owner's point of view.
Absolutely over the moon with the appointment of Tengku Zafrul, the ex-CEO of CIMB, who is now the Minister of Finance. I think the tradition of having technocrats such as Tengku Zafrul, Tan Sri Wahid Omar, holding key positions in government is something we need to continue as they bring fresh perspective into managing the government machinery. Nevertheless, Tengku Zafrul has a tough ordeal ahead of him with the oil price crashing, the economic slowdown that we'll face thanks to COVID-19, which will, you know, definitely impact our country's finances quite significantly. The stimulus package that was announced by the interim Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, has to be operationalised immediately, or if not, further improved to ensure that we soften the blow in the slowdown on tourism, on transportation, as well as allowing Malaysians to upskill themselves in this very tough period.
We also asked Nadir if he felt there was anything lacking in the cabinet.
Of course, I would love if there was a bit more racial as well as gender balance in the cabinet. As a Malaysian, that will be my hope. However, I probably could empathise with the Prime Minister in that he was dealt a certain hand and he has to play them accordingly. At the end of the day, the results matter. And my sincere wish is that this cabinet will be able to bring unity and stability to Malaysia, allow us to focus in getting through these tough times and hopefully to thrive once again as an Asian tiger. That's my sincere hope.
And finally, Nadir, we asked Nadir what would be his message to the newly appointed ministers.
I think my message would be the same as the rakyat, as well as the business community, which is to focus on growing the economy and managing our finances well. There will be distractions, 100%, I think, in the coming months. But I hope that the focus will be there in order to do the right thing for Malaysians and to do things right. That's our hope as Malaysians.
That, of course, was Nadir Ashafiq, the co-founder of Delori. So it was not his lineup, but he seems pretty satisfied with Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's lineup as well.
Especially with, you know, technocrats coming into power as well. Right? I think, you know, you could hear in his voice, he was, you know, really excited to see how that would happen. And I think a lot of people would have that same kind of optimism looking at how it's slightly different. The structure is interesting. Time will tell.
Okay, I mean, back to our survey, right, on Twitter, like people said goals matter, right? There's a majority, and I think that's it, right? How do you know a person's done a great job or not? What are the goals? You know, and I think now probably is the time to then tell us, what is your manifesto with this new lineup? What do you hope to see? Because everybody says this is, yes, we all have, but what we need clarity.
Yeah.
Right?
So looking at the poll right now with more than 300 votes in, the percentages, how much does experience matter in a ministerial position? 33% says experience matters most. 11% says they can learn on the job. 49% say their goals matter more. And 6% say it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, the number one goal now is to, you know, weather the you know, tough economic conditions that we have in the sense that we've got COVID-19, the oil prices crashed just a couple of days ago, if not yesterday. And of course, the economic slowdown, everyone's bracing for a recession. And Italy, you know, as we mentioned earlier on in our talk sets, Italy is in like a lockdown mode. So how is that going to help businesses? That's the priority now. So how are you going to protect us as citizens of Malaysia and, you know, bracing ourselves? That's the goal. If you could weather this, good job. Great stuff. Anyways, keep in touch with our, well, keep going on with our poll on Instagram and on Twitter. And also you can still send in your WhatsApp messages at 018-789-8899. We'll come back and we have a story on how, you know, you could sort of have an easier way when you travel in the next few weeks. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.